All right, lads and lasses, welcome to the Nerds Watching Wrestling Podcast here on this wonderful St. Patty's Sunday.
I feel like there's appropriation, so like I'm gonna stop you already.
It's St. Patrick's Day, hooray!
Tell me three Irish people you know that are not wrestlers right now, or a commercial gimmick.
Three Irish people that I know that aren't wrestlers and not a commercial gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Hugh Jackman, Sherna Rocha,
Australian. First off, So you're already wrong. But yes, it is St. Patty's Day.
Like, all right, like, I'm trying to be in a good mood on this day. You know how I feel about this day. But like, I'm trying to, like, that's why I'm happy we're doing the podcast today. I had something to look forward to on my St. Patrick's Day today. And it's the Nerds Watching Wrestling Podcast. Hooray.
Wrestling.
I am the Southern Wrestling Scholar, ZJ Pierce, in a booth with the Quan Deniable One, JQ Williams. What's up, man?
Hola.
Like, good week, good work week. Not really.
A lot of work this week.
A lot of hard work going. Like, finna be springtime. We got the eclipse finna come up. November moon. Like,
I mean, yeah, because it's called the old phase now.
Like, November moon. It's called the old phase. I don't even think she do it no more. I think she used to the despicable knees more often now.
The despicable knee and their forearm.
Man, just clock them in the jaw.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I got down to watch some wrestling. Did we, bro? AEW in they bag this week, cuz. You want to talk about it?
Let's talk about it.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump in. The same way they jumped in on Dynamite this week, we're going to run through AEW. We're going to give y'all the latest on the road to WrestleMania in WWE. And then me and Quan going to be out y'all here. Sound good? Right. So let's hop into AEW Dynamite. And the one thing that we have been waiting months for, AEW finally decided not to waste their airspace and do this thing like they did the final days.
CEO.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mercedes Moné has finally made her AEW television debut.
And she is all elite.
Like, after a year of speculation, being caught in the crowd at All In Wembley, after getting injured in the tournament to crown the New Japan Strong Women's Champion, we knew she was going to end up in AEW the moment they announced Big Business was going to be in Boston. Like, we knew that they could only open AEW Dynamite with one person, and it is Mercedes Moné, and she is ready to change the game. Now, here's my big question, now that she's here. And, you know, we asked with everybody, and we asked with all the big women signing. We asked it when Saraya came. We asked it when Deonna Purrazzo came. We asked it when Tony came. Now we got to ask it with Mercedes here. Does this actually do more for their women's division in AEW?
Yes. It will definitely get eyes on it because there's a lot of eyes on it already, apparently, with all the backlash that Ms. Moné has been getting. So at any rate, people are going to watch it to see what happens, or, you know, watch it because they hate it and watch it to talk about it.
That gets eyes on it. But like, are they still gonna treat it properly? Like I said, I could have the top whatever on my books, but like, if that's still the only women's segment I'm producing every week on my 2-hour flagship show, then like, what's the point of being here? Like, for real, like, I don't need to keep stacking this women's division to not put them on TV.
I mean, hey, we might do more because, with her being there, opens up doors, and it we might actually finally start using the potential that we have with all the women that we got back there. Because with we might do something akin to the Ring of Honor Women's Tournament, might slot. Well, they already got the TBS belt. They might just throw another belt, another tournament up for Julia's belt. You know, get some more women, more women activity out there doing stuff and all that.
Well, only time will tell. But now that Ms. Moné is part of the most stacked women's division in professional wrestling history, AEW has a lot of million-dollar talent on their hands. Million-dollar, that's a lot of contract money.
So much money.
Like, so much money.
She don't even do that no more.
Still do the little hand dance all night. CEO.
It was fantastic. Like, I was so hype.
I love repetition. Anyway,
I love repetition.
Like, they say it 8 times. So, like, what do we chant? She's not the boss no more. She's the CEO. CEO.
I'm gonna buy you a set of them rings since you want to do this so much. I'm gonna buy you some Monet Talks rings and just let you have it.
Can I get the word life ones instead that John Cena had?
If you do work, you got one. So you're gonna have John Cena word life knuckle rings, but doing the CEO dance? Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Immediately, no. I ain't giving you nothing but Jesus now. Like, nothing but the good book.
Oh, baby, he spoke today, but let's go ahead and keep it moving and get to some action as Samoa Joe defended his AEW World Championship against Wardlow this week. And that after that number one contenders eight-man scramble from Revolution, Wardlow got his little contractually obligated rematch. And it started cute, like it had a little story time with Adam Cole, baby, with him actually in a little chair, reading from a little book.
What else he going to do? You want him to stand up and read?
He can't. But, like, what I found disgusting at the end of it was, like, there was this, it was disgusting. Like, at the end of the little storybook, in the book is this little picture of Wardlow
on his knees handing Adam Cole the title is wild.
Like, that was gross.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Samoa Joe and Wardlow went out there, had, like, just a good meat man match. Samoa Joe being the first person to kick out of that drop knee that Wardlow does from that corner. That disrespectful knee. And, you know, Samoa Joe, being the shark in the water that he is, choked Wardlow out. Now that we're done with him.
We get
back to our proper feud, because after the match, Swerve comes out, lays out some security guards, you know. Kind of basically just Big Brother's Joe. Like, Joe obviously don't acknowledge him. But as we all know, Swerve is not done chasing the AEW World Championship. Swerve says in 2024, he is going to be the man. And I believe him. Swerve is my guy. He's definitely my guy to beat Samoa Joe. I don't know how he's going to do it. It might happen at Dynasty. But he's definitely my pick to dethrone Joe.
He just might.
All right, after a little backstage thing with Alex Marvez where they forced him to sing happy birthday to Matthew Jackson.
It was his birthday. Were you not going to sing happy birthday?
No.
Don't you sing happy birthday to your friends on their birthday?
No, there's a canonic group chat. We just all collectively text somebody in the group chat the other day for their birthday. Be quiet.
I mean, I told him.
Did you sing it?
If he would have wanted
it. You ain't no good friend anyway.
If he would have wanted it, I would have sang it for him.
Anyway, you ain't a good friend.
Okay.
Matthew and Nicholas Jackson and the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada, took on Pac, Penta, and Eddie Kingston in trios action, where this match was basically Okada taunting Eddie the entire time. Like, Okada hit maybe, what, two moves in this match?
Maybe, like, two or three.
Like, one of them being the Rainmaker.
Ha ha, you want to fight me? Nope. I'm going to tag this Jackson in real quick.
Like, but yeah, the story of this match, Eddie Kingston being the Continental Crown Champion, AEW Continental Champion, Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Champion, New Japan Strong Champion. Like, he's pushing himself wanting to be the one of the best, like, his Japanese favorites, and now you have the Rainmaker who's ready to come and take all of that away from him, because the Rainmaker did get the win on Eddie Kingston, pinning him after his ripcord clothesline, you know, posing with his belt. Like, match was made for next week, actually. We're getting that match next week.
We are getting that title match next week. I beat this man one time. We got a whole title match.
I mean, like, according to the EVPs, that makes me number one contender. Like, we make the rules. Like, we got the ranking systems back. I'm undefeated. Like, oh my God. Like, I beat him. I beat Oscar. What you mean?
You're undefeated in trios competition.
You sound like you don't executive vice president.
I mean, he sound like he don't wrestle for real, but it's okay. He don't, like, he's had two matches.
Y'all signed me for my name. If you want me to have a real good match, give me if you want me to have a real 5-star banger match, give me a reason too. You know what's the reason for me to have this match? That Continental Crown. I mean, because you're not defending it.
He really ain't.
So, like, let me go get that. Like, what you mean?
Ain't defending his belt worth nothing.
Will Ospreay comes out and hypes up his match with Bryan Danielson at Dynasty. So Will Ospreay just already out here having 5-star matches in AEW. He's only had two of them, and they're already, well, since he's been officially signed this year, he's only had two of them, and they're already 5-star.
Only have one sitting. It's on Go, and Go is 5 stars.
And Go is what Brian Danielson and Will Ospreay are going to do at Dynasty. And when no smoke and mirrors in this, Will Ospreay just says that when it comes to this ring, it's my life versus yours, and I don't plan on dying, bruv.
So,
cannot wait for AEW Dynasty. Deonna Purrazzo says she's not done with Thomas Tony Storm, and she requests a tag team match.
I mean, a lot of losers say they ain't done with the winners, but like, hey.
Like I said, she wants a tag team match with Tony Mariah May next week.
Says she will find her a partner.
And we will reveal that partner later in the show. Next up in action, Jay White took on Darby Allin. This is supposed to be Darby Allin's write-off match before, you know, Hugo climbs Mount Everest.
That is Darby's music. That was Darby's music.
Like I said, but before he wanted to go climb Mount Everest, he wanted to see what all the Jay White hype was about. So it was time for Darby to breathe
with the switchblade.
And they had a pretty good match. Like it wasn't too special. You know, Darby Allin's obviously banged up, so all I gotta do is just throw him and like he's down for 8 seconds.
Solid match against injured opponent.
But obviously the writing was on the wall. Jay White was obviously going to come away with the victory in this one. And he does with a out of nowhere Blade Runner. After the match, the Guns attack and the Bullet Club tries to pulmonize Darby Allin's foot only for the Bang Bang Scissor Gang's acclaim to come out and be like, yo, man, what y'all doing, bro?
Bang Bang Scissor Gang's acclaimed is wild.
Because, like, they're the collective. It's the six of them, right?
So they're the acclaimed of the Bang Bang Scissor Gang?
Yes, because the Bang Bang Scissor Gang has the acclaimed and Bullet Club Gold in it.
Nah.
That's the Bang Bang Scissor Gang.
Names don't matter no more.
Like, all Darby had to do was take the nickname we were going to give him last week, but, like, here we are now. But, yeah, after the acclaimed, you know, kind of sort of got Darby out of the Billy Gunn was starting to yell at Jay White just for, you know, Jay White to get the up on Billy.
I wouldn't call that getting the up. The man turned to leave and I clacked him in the back. Like
I said, getting the up.
Okay. I guess.
So after being betrayed again by the Guns.
Being betrayed yet again by his boys.
Like, the acclaim get laid out, and then we proceed to finish the pulmonizing of Darby Allin's foot.
Which actually
turns out to be a shoot injury.
I wouldn't say it turned out to be a shoot injury. I want, like, as Jay White put it, I caused that injury. Jay White injures the foot of Darby Allin, preventing the Mount Everest climb.
Like, yes, Darby Allin is out with an actual broken foot. It was just supposed to be his write-off, but, you know, Jay White's real good at his job. What do you want him to do?
He's really good at his job. He's a professional.
Like, in tag team action, the Gates of Agony
took on
Hook and Chris Jericho in an okay
Lion
match.
Lion Hook.
Mm-hmm. And a pretty decent match. Gates of Agony looked good, but this was always the Jericho show, especially since he's going through his midlife crisis as Lionheart again.
I feel like I was going to say, okay, never mind. You summed it up. Like every time he gets a crisis, he changes his name real quick.
So now I got to go back to my prime back when I was 20.
And boy, them extensions extending, ain't it?
Ooh, boy, that lace front that Christopher Louise Jericho got on his head.
Call that boy Chrissy Keebler, like...
But yeah, the wrestling was all right. After Hook and Jericho got the dub, Jericho says he would like a match with Hook to, you know, basically just test the waters. A lot of people saying that Chris Jericho is using these younger guys for a rub. I was like, I can see how people would think that, but I also think that goes the other way because, like, I'm also just getting this, as the younger guy, I'm still getting this screen time with Chris Jericho. Say what you want. If Chris Jericho has been on each and every episode of AEW Dynamite since we've been on TV. Like, if anybody can get TV time, it's Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm not going to say Chris Jericho's using these other guys. I'm saying Chris Jericho getting these other guys on, like,
and there's
Action Andretti still being one of the highest examples of that.
I was just going to say there's Action. In the instance of Hook, I can see the argument for me because I was just fighting somebody with Joe Baby. I was just in the main event title picture. I don't necessarily need you to get me on TV. But for Chris Jericho's sake, yes, I am still, you know, helping out these young guys, getting them on TV. Like, Action Andretti has a dub over Chris Jericho. Like, debut dub.
Debut dub.
I popped the flip, pinned that man, left.
And in the main event of AEW Dynamite, main event with the women folk, because big business money, Willow Nightingale took on Riho, the inaugural AEW Women's Champion versus the inaugural NJPW Strong Women's Champion, New Japan Strong Women's Champion, Willow Nightingale, AEW Women's Champion Riho. They had a very competitive match. I just buy it hard sometimes to believe Riho's offense, because especially against an opponent like Willow Nightingale, because Riho is like inaugural women's champion, but very petite woman. Like, very quick and agile, which she uses to her advantage, like, especially when it comes to those double stunts, like, I ain't got to put none of my weight off of that. But, like, I do buy it hard sometimes to get into these Riho matches. Like, I kind of knew Willow was going to win this match going into it.
I mean, hey, bro. She still do a good job. Like, she's been doing it for a while. This is, strikes have offense. Like, whether or not you see the power behind it, like, it still hurt. Like, imagine all of that steel coming at you. Like, just, yeah. She get down to it. I mean, she don't look like it. Like, it's because she looks so dainty. But that is still a very strong and competitive woman.
But yes, like I said, it was not her night tonight, as Willow Nightingale did get the win with the Dr. Bomb. After the match and the show of respect between the two ladies, Sky Blue and Julia Hart used their blackout to attack Willow Nightingale, prompting the newly debuted All Elite Mercedes Moné.
CEO.
CEO.
Like I said, I'm getting you them. I'm gonna get you a pair of them rings and not the word life ones.
She comes out and makes the save for Willow Nightingale before proceeding to do the dance over the apron again. CEO. And sending Boston home happy. That was AEW Dynamite. Like I said, we knew Sasha Banks was going to come in at Big Business, especially when Boston was spelled with two S's in the little background of that Big Business thing. But now she is here. We have a world title match out of the way with Swerve still trying to come and finish his story. That's the only story that honestly matters. Got a heel turn. Got some pretty good decent action. Like, I'm not mad at this week's AEW Dynamite. Like, I'm giving it 8.
Solid 7.
Like I said, like, they only get that bump because CEO.
She was so good. She was so fine. It's an idea.
I'm saying, next up, we have AEW Rampage, and they started Friday night off with the Dark Order taking on Trent Beretta and Orange Cassidy as we're building momentum towards the AEW Tag Team Championship title tournament. Obviously, the tag titles being vacated after Sting and Darby Allin relinquished them. Sting being retired. Darby ain't got no foot no more.
I mean, he relinquished them before he ain't got no foot no more. Stop that. Like, that man could have found a partner.
He wants to.
I mean, I'm saying he could have. Like,
Replace Sting with for Darby Allin right now.
Hangman Adam Page.
You mean the fresh to turn heel? You can't have my title, Hangman.
Exactly. Give him a title, Betty. Defend it like Tommaso Ciampa did the NXT belt.
No, why am I like. But yeah, like, so now we got to crown these new champions. We got a nice little tournament set up. And to, you know, get your fingers wet, Dark Order took on Best Friends. Obviously, Trent Beretta still having these small heel turn tendencies, like, yeah, we won, but, like, don't raise my hand, Orange. Like, I don't know what that was about. Like, y'all literally were just tag team partners. Don't do that.
They're the best friends.
My friendship getting rocky over there up in AEW.
I mean, baby.
And I ain't talking about Romero.
He might be part of the problem.
I mean, like, because Orange Cassidy, Trent, and Rocky Romero canonically make up chaos.
I mean, hey, bro.
So, like, that means, like, so if you're trying to break up the best friends, you're trying to break up chaos, too. So what you want, Trent?
I guess you could say there's too much chaos in the group. Ha 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 ha.
No. Next up, Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May put on a very special tag team match performance against two women.
Boy.
If you want the name of those girls,
look it up. Like, go watch the match.
I promise you, like.
Hey, baby.
Like, when you don't even get a name bar. Like,
they just announced them girls and had a match.
But obviously, this was just a show off. Like, this was just a show off for Toni Storm to show you guys that this is Mariah May. She is me now. Like, loved every minute of it. Tony Storm hit the strong zero, tagged in Mariah, man, allowed her to get the win because, you know, protege, like, look at her. After the match, Deonna Purrazzo reveals that her tag team partner for the match next week will be
Sandbag Sandro. Thunder Rosa. Sandbag Sandro. Thunder Rosa is the name.
Thunder Rosa. Like, ooh. Like, Miss Dex, like, this new Trap Queen rap that she got is not, I don't like her new music. But yes, Thunder Rosa is back again, like, for the fourth time.
Oh, I got these edge returns, don't it? Like,
girl.
Coming back with it. Not for nothing, I don't see how that works. But, okay.
Thunder Rosa just wants to be near the championship is she one of them, is she one of them stripped out of injury champions?
I remember the Thunder Rosa. She was wrestling with an injury. They told her she was going to fight Tony at All Out, and then she relinquished the title.
Making Tony an interim champion the first time around.
Yep.
Charlotte, get away from me.
I have been wrestling with injury for so long. I have to give up the title.
You giving less Mexican and more Saudi, so I'm gonna go ahead and move on to.
I'm giving more care than I thought I could, but like, I hear you. You got me talking about Thunder Rosa, like that's a popular podcast subject for wrestling, but okay.
Next up in action, Konosuke Takeshita took on Commander, and once again, just how good Konosuke Takeshita is.
Fantastic.
It's downright disrespectful.
Disrespectful will forever be these knees that this man throws.
The bridge on these Germans where my neck don't bend or crack. Commander put up his best. Like, some of the moves Commander pulled off was amazing. Some of the most seamless rope walking in the business, like Rey Mysterio level West Coast pop off the apron into the ring, like gives real Rey Mysterio vibes more than Dragon Lee. But
why was that rub needed? Like who was that one for?
I don't know. But like
the man trying to idolize his hero, and here you are just stomping on his dreams. All right, yes,
baby. You know what happened to Dragon Lee? Like okay, it's gonna hurt. I wouldn't watch that match. That was a tragedy. But
okay, Escobar. I guess
Familia. But once again, like it was all about Familia. The Don Callis family, to be exact, as Konosuke Takeshita gets the win with that German suplex knee combination. I'm with Chris Jericho. I'm marking his words. In about 6 months, Konosuke Takeshita is going to be some form of champion.
Yeah.
Like, give that man a belt. Future booking ahead. Go ahead and let Adam Copeland win this I Quit match and, like, let Takeshita take that belt off Edge. Because if we keep it on Christian, we just gotta come and start talking about people's daddies, and then we gotta actually do a.
We gonna finally get that negative one feud. It's gonna be great.
The forever TNT champion versus the greatest father in pro wrestling.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
I can hear him now. Hey, negative one, I hear you need a dad.
Mm-mm.
And then the whole Dark Order reforms, and then you know we gotta just get Christian off TV.
Let's gotta get. No, actually what happens is, hey, I hear you need a new dad, La Facción de Iconable, because you get Preston Vance wearing the Mexican snack.
Oh, yeah, he's just
going to. We're
just going to mob.
Just gonna get,
they
send
are
him,
going to mob
just
going to
send him away, way. But in the main event of Rampage, the Undisputed Kingdom, Roderick Strong, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions,
I forgot,
AEW
I
International Champion.
Genuinely forgot that those men were tag team champions.
Mm-hmm. They took on the team of Top Flight and Action Andretti. And it was a match. Nothing too special. Undisputed Kingdom came out with the win. Good for them. And that was Rampage. Like, I'm sorry I didn't have much to expand on the match, but that was just legit a by-the-books trios match.
Yeah. Sometimes that's how it is.
So, nice little Friday night of wrestling. Like I said, I don't feel comfortable rating the one-hour show, so I'm not.
Maybe they got it.
So we're just going to go ahead and jump straight into AEW Coliseum.
Coliseum.
AEW Collision started off hot with a dream match that was so beautiful. I can only describe it as the Antonio Inoki Invitational, as Bryan Danielson took on Katsuyori Shibata. First of all, to my beautiful people out there listening, if you have yet to see a Katsuyori Shibata match,
doing yourself a disservice.
You're doing yourself a disservice. But if there is one that I suggest you go and watch first, if you just want to like get a base intro to see how good he really is, watch this match that he had against Bryan Danielson. Because Jesus wept.
Okay,
and so
okay,
did I.
Okay.
All right. Boy, two of the best technical wrestlers in the game, despite Nigel McGuinness's hating.
I mean, hey, man, that Nigel McGuinness just
treats Daniel Bryan like toilet water.
Just genuinely does not like Daniel Bryan. And it's okay.
Ask Tony Schiavone in the, like, after that exchange when Daniel Bryan's just slumped in the corner. Let me ask you, Schiavone, is Bryan Danielson missing a chromosome? Oh, like, bro, Tony Schiavone, why would you ask that?
It felt like a legitimate question to him.
See, like, there is no love lost between Dragon and Mr. Nigel McGuinness. But yes, after a very hard-hitting, very competitive, beautiful back-and-forth match, it was ultimately Bryan Danielson getting the win with a crucifix roll-up. Yes, I just had to out-wrestle Katsuyori Shibata. There was no other way for that match to end. Like,
wasn't going to outstrike him.
Like, you weren't going to tap him. And even in Katsuyori's case, a penalty kick was not going to be enough to take out Daniel Bryan.
Katsuyori got some PK fire in that penalty kick.
He kicked out of the Blue Cycle. Okay. So that means Bryan Danielson would have had to kick out of that PK
And like you be saying,
we can't go kick for kick and then I lose to a kick. Like, because that's exactly what they did. Like, we both can't have kick in Arsenal and then I lose to kick. Because that means my kick no longer kicks.
And it don't. Like, I'm caught to you or Shibata, baby. I got dubs off mine. Like, you got dubs off holds and a knee.
Oh, boy. Like,
you have dubs off holds and a knee. I got dubs
off that sidekick. Like, that sidekick that they stopped letting me hit in WWE because I actually used to win with it.
Yeah, because that don't count.
Like I said,
that don't count.
Like, yes, I have actual dubs with that kick, but then in WWE, they made me stop doing that kick because I would get dubs because they'd be knocked out after that sidekick. But like I said, beautiful match. Go out and watch it. Julia Hart defended her TBS championship against Trisha Dora next, with the house rule being that the loser could not manage their team in the wild card tag team title tournament match that would be happening later on tonight between the House of Black and the Infantry. Kind of a foregone conclusion about who was going to win that match then, because that match obviously went to Julia Hart, who retained her championship with the Moonsault.
We don't got a name for that one yet. Just the Moonsault for now.
I was like, how are you feeling now that we're this deep into Julia's TBS title reign?
I'm still the captain and conductor of the Julia Hart fan train. That woman can do no wrong. Love everything we're doing. All of it. Each and every individual.
Like, has the most momentum out of everybody in the House of Black currently.
Has the most matches out of anybody in the House of Black.
Leader included. Leader included. Because Leader don't like doing jobs. So, like, I read that and it was tragic.
Hey, baby, like.
Next, Daniel Garcia takes on Lee Moriarty in Battle of
Tiger Style versus Dance.
But, like, don't forget Daniel Garcia is actually still, like,
also just a purely athletic competitor in that ring.
Like, what is he? Like, is he a mixed martial artist? What's Daniel Garcia's other style? Like, because he's definitely a hybrid athlete.
I forgot his other background, but, like, still. Like, one, like an A1 competitor in that ring.
But, yes, put on a pretty decent match against Lee Moriarty. Got the win with a heel hook. Very nice. Pac makes his Collision debut and his return to solo wrestling as he takes on Aaron Solo. Beats him soundly with the bomb, Red Arrow, and Brutalizer. And tells Tony Khan that he is looking for trouble. Looks down at Aaron Solo. That is not trouble. I am looking for trouble. And if you don't give it to me, I'm going to go find it myself. The bastard's hungry, man.
I mean, you just got back, baby. Your trouble might be another injury, so I'll calm down if I was you.
There was an injury that kept him out this time.
Either.
Lance Archer and Claudio Castagnoli fought to a DQ when the Righteous got involved. I guess the Righteous has a partnership with Lance Archer.
They do indeed.
Like I said, the match was going real well. Lance Archer was taking a lot of it. Claudio was in danger for a good little bit of it before the Righteous got involved when Claudio was on the up. Brian Danielson attempted to make the save because John Moxley was not in Ottawa, Canada. But obviously there's still a little numbers game there. Hit the all-seeing eye on Brian Danielson and looked to have the upper hand until Katsuyori Shibata came out with a chair to even the odds and to save the Blackpool Combat Club. I smell six man.
Don't we always?
I'm perfectly fine with it. That just means more Shibata on my TV. Like, that just means Katsuyori Shibata gets to have another match on my American television.
That just means it's PK better win.
Many PK to Vincent gonna bang.
The PK better win this match.
Having his first match in 2 years, Kyle O'Reilly returns.
Thought you was gonna say Aleister Black, because that would also have been true.
He didn't have a match this week.
Well, boy, that's fitting.
Because Kyle O'Reilly made his in-ring return for the first time in 2 years, taking on Brian Keith in a very hard-hitting match. Both Keith and O'Reilly given a lot of time to shine, show off what they got. Knight ultimately belonging to O'Reilly as he tapped Brian Keith out quite fast with his new cross arm breaker submission that we are calling Armageddon. Like, just straight cross arm breaker, fam. Like, don't know what you want from me.
I mean, Kyle O'Reilly, I could do it with your arm, your leg, your ear, your pinky toe, like, you're tapping.
And then after the match, the Undisputed Kingdom comes out to celebrate with him. Like, once again, just very good to see Kyle O'Reilly back in the ring, especially after the serious injury he was dealing with. Like I said, like, as long as these things take time and if they cool and if the doctor's cool, then people can come back. Like I said, that's why I'm not rushing Big E no more. Like, if it happens, it happens. So,
I mean, it's not, but, like, if it happens, it happens.
Like I said, if it happens, it happens. Like I said, never say never. Like, nigga, we told Adam Copeland no for 11 years. Like, so never say never. But congratulations, Kyle O'Reilly. Next up, we have our first match in the AEW Tag Team Title Tournament, and it is the wild card match to see who goes into the quarterfinals between the House of Black and the Infantry. And first of all, if you know who the Infantry is, good for you. But as far as the rest of us,
what is that supposed to mean right now?
Who? Tell me the exact names of all three members of the Infantry.
Sean Dean, Trish Adora, and I forgot Buddy's name, but that is only due to not seeing them. Like they folks. Like, if you don't watch them, that's on you.
I watch Ring of Honor. That's where they're famous for. Why are they on my AEW Collision Tag Team Tournament? I would never know.
Because we're a tag team, and AEW ain't got that many of them.
But like I said, Carly Bravo and Sean Dean.
Charlie.
It's Carly. It is Carly.
Ooh. But I mean, I'm still behind them. Like, them folks.
But yes, Carly Brown and Sean Dean took on Big Brody King and Buddy Matthews. And pretty much, and that match was exactly what you think it was going to be. The House of Black dominated that entire match. And when I say the entire match, I mean the entire match. Like, it was at one point we pile drove Carly Bravo onto the announce table and then hit Dante's Inferno, then hit the stomp. But me, Buddy Murphy, pulled Sean Dean up from the cover. And I was going to go for some extra, but that allowed Mark Briscoe, who has been a pain in the side of the House of Black for a while now, apparently. Because
he ain't doing nothing, and we trying to tell him, if you ain't doing nothing, leave.
Mark Briscoe comes out and throws a chair at Buddy Matthews, causing him to fall off the top rope, leading Sean Dean to crawl over to make the cover, and the Infantry get the dub. The House of Black are not going to be AEW Tag Team Champions. the infantry find themselves in the quarterfinals.
I mean, the infantry not going to be tag team champions either, baby. So, like, hey.
I'm saying after this match, as Mark Briscoe runs through the crowd, Malakai Black comes out and is furious. You can see it all over his no expression. He is furious.
He is fuming behind that stone face.
And in the main event segment, Adam Copeland returns to Ottawa, Canada, and says that now he is speaking to Christian Cage because that's who Jay, his best friend, has become. He says Jay is dead.
I mean,
so now I can only address Christian Cage.
I would hope you knew that when your friend Jay just started talking about folks' daddies like he was like he is like. Friends don't do that.
Friends don't do that.
Hey, your daddy ain't here no more, is it?
But yeah, the basis of Adam Copeland's promo was, I didn't come here to steal your shine. I came here to retire with you and end my career on my turn. But you didn't see it that way. And like, when I came and actually won my TNT championship and y'all took my title from me, then y'all took me out with a concerto while I was at the house thinking about what you did to me with the move that we created. I knew I had to go and talk to somebody who would remind me of how deep and dark I can truly be. So I talked to him, and I talked to another well-known sociopath, and they helped me come up with a weapon. And now Edge has his own little trinket in the extreme world.
Is crazy.
It's a trinket.
Trinket is crazy.
Look at it. It's a diet.
It's a
diet version. We've had Barbie. We've had Janice. Now we have Spike. Spike is also a girl. So the fact that he named the girl Spike is wild.
Spike with a Y.
It's not. It is not. It was written on a case. S-P-I-K-E. And it's a girl. But yes, Spike is a 2x4, a very small, not even 2x4, maybe like 3x3. But
3x3 is diabolical. Describe this weapon. Like,
it's a black little 3x3.
Oh my god!
With a book of nails, basically on three sides of it, as opposed to Janice, where it was on all four sides. But yeah, to people familiar with Janice and Abyss or TNA in general, y'all know what she do. Like, turn Rob Van Dam to a Christmas turkey. But
hey, bro, like
my producer wins. I'm gonna show him in a minute. I'm gonna show him after this broadcast. Have you ever seen Janice, Mr. Producer? You just not. You ain't gotta take it out. Like, we inclusive. But yeah, after the broadcast, I'm gonna show you what Janice about and show you why I'm not believing what Edge doing.
I'm not believing.
Because unless we're gonna get WrestleMania 22 Edge, and I'm actually gonna carve Christian up and then put him through a flaming table. Like I said, because that's what I want. Because he obviously said, I talked to Mrs. Foley's baby boy. So he talked to Mick Foley, and he talked to Abyss, and got this new weapon. And now he's going into this I Quit match with this weapon. I'm talking Adam Copeland better merge your late Christian.
I mean, I do this. I do this.
Like I said, I need a return to form from Edge. I need that WrestleMania 22 match out of Edge.
Oh, you mean like you want a flaming table spot?
I definitely want that spear recreated. Nah, I'm not even gonna hold you. I would love a take two on that spear through that flaming table.
We as an Edge and a patriarchy have already tried a flaming table spot. We gotta run that bike. Because we turned Nick Wayne into Mr. I Am the Flaming Table, so like, no. Nah. I Am the Table spot was not it, but it's not it. But hey.
But yes, AEW Collision. I picked a great week to start reviewing Collision because I had a very good time with this show. Like, my first Collision, I'm giving them an 8.3.
I'll give it a solid 9 because weapons and such, not trinkets.
Like I said, it's baby Janice. Like, Barbie and Janice. First of all, nope. This is a PG show and I'm going to keep it as such. But yes, like.
Wild.
But like, yes, like, he got little baby Janice. Like, I saw it on Facebook last night and immediately said, nope, like, Edge, you can't fool me. Like, I'm a wrestling nerd. I know what that is. All right, let's hop back on this road to WrestleMania now that we took this sharp left through AEW.
Hey, bro, like, AEW got a better road to WrestleMania. It's not
their fault. AEW definitely is having the better road to WrestleMania than WrestleMania is right now.
Like, it's not their fault.
All right. But we start off this episode, this week's WWE festivities on Monday Night Raw with Drew McIntyre, like, who's obviously fuming because why are you not taking my world title match against you seriously?
What would you rather have me do?
Like, why are you still, like, I would rather you not be involved with the bloodline and focus on the world title match that we have.
I've beaten you already. I don't need much focus. Cody needs help.
That's basically what Seth said in response. Like, that's basically what Seth said in response. Like, despite, like, on the top of Seth Rollins' long priority list is the bloodline, the championship, his back, his knee, then all the way at the bottom is Drew McIntyre. He said that to him.
Because I've already beaten you, babe. Like, you out here making a stink. Like, okay, wham.
Like I said, you starting to sound a lot like CM Punk right now. You sounding like a mad hypocrite.
But
like,
sounding hypocritical, Kyle.
But yeah, like, Seth Rollins basically just like Drew wanted some cereal, thought he was going to eat it. Seth Rollins said, nah, dude, man.
Thought you ate, plate still full, I lie.
We then go into some proper action as Becky Lynch take on Liv Morgan after weeks of them interfering in each other's matches. Very nice match. Went through two commercial breaks. This, obviously, a year ago, this would have been a one commercial break match that Liv Morgan would have just lost. But nah, like, returning Liv Morgan and new Becky Lynch are actually out here putting out banger matches. Really came down to the nitty-gritty, but Becky Lynch won with a manhandle slam. After the match, Rhea Ripley...
Has the manhandle slam evolved to the pump handle, or like...
It started as the pump handle, then it just became the rock bottom.
Okay, so like she did the rock, so she did the rock bottom.
Basically, like,
okay, it started as a pump handle, yes. Like, she did the whole pump handle into the slam thing, and now you're just,
Right, now it's just a rock bottom.
Yeah.
But after the match, women's world champion Mommy came out and asked Becky Lynch if all this fighting is really worth it. Because, like she said, like, you came out and said that you had to know if you were better than me, but you doing all this fighting every week on the road to WrestleMania makes it look like you're looking for an excuse for when you can't beat me.
Like, I was so busy doing so much other things, Charlotte.
Okay. But, Rhea says she hopes that she's able to keep up when it comes to Mania. Becky says that when people like y'all, like, when the doubt is put in and people believe in her, that she's good. But when people started doubting her, she is great and that she is ready for Mommy.
Can't wait for her to lose.
Then backstage, after I shake Liv Morgan's hand after we had a good match, Nia Jax said, boom, gang, nah, y'all thought we was done.
I mean...
like, threw Liv Morgan over the traveler's case and put Becky Lynch through a table.
Because who are they? Like,
so, like, you talking about can't wait till she lose. I can't wait till this match become a fatal four-way.
Like,
I can't wait for this Elimination Chamber to be made dull and irrelevant. Baby, y'all just had to have a pay-per-view in Perth. Y'all could have did Fastlane.
Can you imagine Great Balls of Fire in Perth?
Like, can we, like, kill that pay-per-view? We don't do that no more.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, they did it. They didn't even realize that their logo was actually phallus. But the
logo was horrid.
All right. Sorry, that was a healthy laugh. General managers Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce announced that the Judgment Day will be defending their undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships in a six-pack tag team ladder match.
Boy, that Hardy Boy music finna bang. Boy, that Hardy Boy music finna bang. Do you hear me? Oh boy, I can see.
That was my third ever WrestleMania, and let me say how happy I was.
I can see Woods and Kofi, and I bet y'all wanted us in the thong. Well, nope, you know it.
Boy, like, I watched that Mania in my room, knew they came out, like, bro, knew they really finna make themselves in this match. Boy, I almost threw something at my TV. Because I was calling the Hardy Boy return while I was still in college. And, like, was just counting down the days for Matt and Jeff to lead TNA.
Man, that Hardy Boy music from the buying. And Jeff going to get injured on the ramp. Then I knew they actually going to have to be the tag team in that match.
I was like, but over the next couple of weeks on TV, there will be qualifying matches to see who will advance to that ladder match. We had a couple of them on SmackDown, so we'll get to that later. After hearing this, Judgment Day storm off into Adam Pearce's office, where Damian Priest is awarded a match with R-Truth that he almost lost.
That man told Rhea, stop going to Pierce's office. Yeah, dear Hilliard, as soon as he go in there, here you go.
Every time Judgment Day goes to see Adam Pearce, they end up in a fight. So you think he learned.
He told Rhea, hey, maybe stop going to Pierce's office. And where were you at?
In Pierce's office. And now you got a match with R-Truth that almost lost. Like, that you almost lost.
You can't lose that match, aren't you? Because he's just going to take your money in the bank briefcase. Like not win it. He's just going to take it and, like, run off with it. And then, you know, he's going to call himself, like, Mr. Elimination Chamber or something like that. And we just going to have to deal.
I was like, but yeah, R-Truth seemingly had Damian Priest tapped out because, obviously, like, when I
tapped do my... Tapped out.
Oh, yes, because John Cena is still my childhood hero, nah, right?
Baby,
Then when I had him in the STF, Judgment Day decided to come beat up DIY because Regeneration X is a thing now.
Regeneration X is a thing that left your mouth, and it was
nothing. Regeneration X is a thing that left Michael Cole's mouth.
I need that to not see the light.
The conglomerate of DIY, R-Truth, and The Miz is Regeneration X.
I need that to not see the light of day no more.
But yes, after the Judgment Day jumped DIY, it allowed R-Truth went outside, hit a dive on all four of them. Leading him, and when he got back in the ring, Damian Priest just hit him with a clothesline, South Side of Heaven for the win. And then, you know, we proceed to continue to beat up Regeneration X afterwards. Both Dominic and Miz were not there. Like I said, Kabuki Warriors took on Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark.
Kabuki Warriors won, next segment.
Yep. Cody Rhodes says that now the story is bigger than him. But it is up to him because he wants to give that belt to his mother. He wants to give it to Michelle Rubio.
Why?
Because I can't give it to Dusty.
Okay, why would you want to? Like, okay.
Baby, like, I've been in detail about why this championship means so much to Cody. Why this one particular championship means so much to Cody. But TLDR, yes, Dusty Rhodes had the WWE Championship snatched out his hand in Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
That is canonical, like, because, you know, you can't win a title off of DQ. So they took that belt out Dusty Rhodes' hands, and that was the only time a Rhodes family member has seen a WWE championship. That is the whole point of the story. We are at the bottom of the ninth, according to Cody.
According to Cody. We'll see. We are gonna see.
Jay wants a match with Jimmy at WrestleMania. Like, Jay Uso is tired of Jimmy costing him match after match. Y'all won't leave me alone, so fight me, bro. And in the main event, we have the number one contenders gauntlet match to determine Gunther's opponent at WrestleMania for the Intercontinental Championship. The gauntlet match ran down as followed. It opened up with JD McDonagh versus Ricochet, with Ricochet getting the win off of a shooting star press. We then move on to Ricochet and versus Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed is able to defeat Ricochet with the Tsunami. We then get Bronson Reed versus Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn is able to take down Bronson Reed with a sunset flip powerbomb, but after the match, Bronson Reed obviously hits the Tsunami on Sami Zayn, leaving him weakened. For Sami versus Shinsuke 7. Oh my God.
Are we still letting them fight each other?
Like, yes, sir. But this one was actually kind of on par with the Dallas match. This was a real good match. And fun fact, the start of Ramadan was earlier in the week, and Sami Zayn was fasting ahead of this match. And
what they had to do? So you got some excuses for when you lose, buddy. All right, cool. I guess your stomach growling caused you to not kick out of a pinfall or whatever.
I still beat Shinsuke Nakamura. And then in the final, went on to defeat Chad Gable in a very emotional match. But Sami, like, after winning the gauntlet, he said he's been fasting. Like, he said he was on the brink of death out there. Like, cause he had never actually fasted before wrestling before. But, yes, to go back to the last stretch of that match, Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable, this is where the story really kicks in, because we've been seeing these promos and vignettes for Sami Zayn trying to find him a path to WrestleMania, while at the same time, we're still on that organic story of wanting, of finally wanting something serious for the singles career of Chad Gable. And we also want that rubber match to be ran back. Like, Gunther and Chad are 1-1 against each other. Gunther beat Chad Gable in front of his daughter to retain the IC title. So the results of this match could have been in anybody's favor, and everyone and more people would have been happy. But now that we're getting the backlash from it, it appears that everyone is actually more on the Chad Gable side of this.
We wanted Chad versus Gunther for that belt.
Still do.
Like, Sammy Cool or whatever, like, props to you, like, good wrestler, but, like, that wasn't your story. Like, chill out.
Like, not to even be on your side like that, but, like, Sammy, you did have the you had the whirlwind run last year. Like, you was in the biggest storyline in the company. You got the main event for a world title in your hometown. You main event at WrestleMania for the tag titles.
Like, baby, you don't got to go to WrestleMania every year, child. Like, sit down. You still work.
Like, so yeah, because we could have gave this to Chad. Like, I'm on the Gable train.
Could have slid that to Mr. Gable.
And that was Monday Night Raw. There was one segment that I decided to leave out because it was just in bad taste, because I don't get it, and who is it for? But other than that, pretty basic episode of Raw. Like, the
solid C tier.
The meat and potatoes of this match was the tag. Like, nothing really mattered in this match other than the tag team ladder match being announced. Jimmy and Jay getting their match, and this gauntlet match. So, other than that, like, low 7.
Yeah, very low 7.
Let's see if SmackDown can fare any better. Are you ready?
If you singing that in your head, oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, it was also kind of a call and response, but it's whatever.
who's responding?
You! Like, two of us in this little box.
Oh, I thought you were doing that for the people listening, my bad. I thought they were supposed to do that. I was also going to tell you they're not there either, but hey, here we are.
Like, I know, Dora, I can't hear them. It's the show's big lie.
Denial. Hey, denial.
We start off SmackDown with Randy Orton taking on Grayson Waller with Logan Paul on commentary.
Logan Paul.
And copy and paste match from last week when I took on Austin Theory. Like, sorry, not sorry.
Pretty much.
After the match, Theory and Logan Paul tried to attack Randy Orton afterwards. But here comes Kevin Owens to make the save. And even the odds giving that joint stunner RKO thing to Theory, I didn't like that.
It was whatever. Like
that was ugly. after the match, after they're done doing all that, Nick Aldis says that he has determined Logan Paul's opponents for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. That's right. Another multi-man match just announced. It is a triple threat match.
Gross.
For the United States Championship.
Kevin Owens turning heel. Can't wait.
Be Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul.
Kevin Owens turning heel when they lose. Can't wait.
First of all, this is Randy Orton's 5th WrestleMania triple threat. Like, this is Randy's 5th WrestleMania triple threat. Also, just quick little fun fact about Randy. Randy Orton is the only person to walk into a WrestleMania as a Grand Slam champion. He's never walked out of as one, but because I want to say his retention rate was maybe like, let's see, he didn't have to defend Intercontinental. He lost the World Heavyweight. He lost the U.S. and retained the tags. So, yeah. Randy Orton has gone to WrestleMania as a Grand Slam champion.
Yeah. Out here doing it, Mr. Randall.
And this year will compete in his 5th triple threat match. The 4th one being for a championship. Like, this 4th one being for a championship. Like, the new Mr. WrestleMania, Randy Orton.
Yes, sir.
KO Mania. What is this? And what would this be? KO Mania 7?
Potentially. That man does have. Are we counting the KO show?
Yes, because that still turned out to be a match.
That did.
KO Mania. I want to say KO Mania start at 32. 32, 33, 34, 35. Was he on 35? He wasn't on 35. Was he on 30? Yeah, he was on 30. He wasn't on 30. He was on 34. That was the Daniel Bryan match. He wasn't on 35, 36, 37, 38, 39. This will be KO Mania 8. Love that for him.
Look at him out here.
And, of course, Logan Paul will now go into WrestleMania defending a championship. This would be Logan Paul's third WrestleMania.
Logan Paul.
Like, it might actually be a pretty decent match. I can't wait for it.
Logan, go get you, you know, your good TV, your good spots for, you know, your recordings and all that. That man does give him a good spot on every now and then.
I'm going to say, we go backstage to where Caleb Braxton scares the living boo-boo out of Paul Heyman.
Scared the bejeebuses out of that man.
Where we get the answer from Jimmy Uso that he will accept his little brother's challenge, even though y'all twins.
I mean, hey, it was seconds. I'm older. I'm older. I was always.
Like, who is Jimmy supposed to be?
The big brother, because you was always following me around.
I got you.
Yeet.
You got me from the bloodline.
No, yeet.
Next, the Latino World Order took on Legado del Fantasma for a spot in the WrestleMania ladder match for the tag team titles. Obviously, the feud with LWO is not going to die anytime soon, but this was still a great little showing for the SmackDown tag division. Legado gets the win after a suplex gut kick combination that looked like it knocked the diarrhea out of Joaquin Wild.
Wild statement.
Did you see the kick?
No.
I'll show you the kick afterwards because I was like, ooh, like, yeah, that's a finisher going to ring the bell, bro. LA Knight calls on AJ Styles for a match at WrestleMania since he won't come out and fight him like a man. AJ Styles
and hit LA Knight. And what does he do to prove I'm not going to fight you like a man?
AJ Styles hits LA Knight with a chair and accepts the match.
In the back.
Like, so now going to WrestleMania, AJ Styles takes on LA Knight in the Battle of the Three Syllables.
Like, in the Battle of the Three Syllables, like, because there's nothing else behind this match.
Because, like, because when AJ loses.
When AJ pops the BFT and loses, I'm going to be, nothing actually, it's going to be what I expect. Like, I'm honestly expecting AJ to lose this. Like, I'm just going to be right there like, yeah, that tracks. That tracks accurately.
Santos Escobar then takes on Dragon Lee. Well, Dragon Lee pretty much basically just beat Santos up for most of this match. There's a quick Legado interference spot. Dragon Lee gets back in the ring, Phantom Driver, 1, 2, 3. Like, cut and paste. Like, after the match, we're attempting to beat up Dragon Lee before Carlito comes and makes the save. But obviously, we do still get the numbers up on Carlito, which brings out Rey Mysterio.
He didn't look like Bane this time. I'm so proud.
No, he put on a real mask.
I'm so glad.
He put on a real mask.
So glad he could take time out of his
busy. He wouldn't win that small kill.
So glad he could take time out of his busy schedule of terrorizing the streets of Gotham to come help out his friends.
Like I said, Santos, since it was supposed to be me and you, La Familia, together. How about we do it one-on-one next week? You thought off in the same mania, Ally.
I mean, like...
The tag team match going to be... tag team match can't be a mania. Legado go off in titles. Oops.
Well...
So, yeah, go get this match out the way next week.
See, Sammy, everybody don't got to have WrestleMania dreams. Like, sometimes you can just get a match, baby. Like, just wrestle. Why are you here?
Pretty Deadly take on the New Catch Republic in a WrestleMania qualifying match to see who goes on to WrestleMania.
Them boys is British strong style.
We can't market that because British strong style. I mean, we got Trent Seven and we ain't got him. He over there on Speedball Mountain.
I was saying, apparently adding Trent Seven to your tag team makes it insert whatever here mountain. So like, yes, we British strong style.
That's because I Trent Seven
am a mountain.
Am from Mustache Mountain. Like, that's where I'm from. Like, the name of that tag team is where I'm from. Like,
from Mustache, okay.
All right. Like, because Tyler Bates from Dudley.
View?
No. England.
Look out, my bad.
Dudley, England.
What you mean, like, Dudleyville, bro? Can you imagine Tyler Bates?
Dudleyville ain't real!
Can you imagine Tyler Bates being Spike?
No. I don't want to either. But yes, Pretty Deadly took on New Catch Republic in the battle of the NXT UK that you thought you wanted. Because, like, baby, if this was the NXT UK, this match would have, like, went 20 minutes and would have been good. But,
Since it was
SmackDown, it was a SmackDown match and New Catch Republic won.
If this is UK, Pretty Deadly would have won. Pretty Deadly would have popped them titles. Speaking of titles, like, Pretty Deadly, like, y'all was number one contender. Y'all supposed to be making us think about this.
It's
a whole tournament for some of y'all. Y'all just never lost.
Should have had, boy.
Y'all see what Roxanne doing? Gonna beat up a champ. Like,
yes, boy. For the ninth time, Bayley versus Dakota Kai didn't end in the finish because of damage control. Like, I'm talking about just blatant this time. Like, referee watching all y'all get in the ring. Like, looking at Io and Bayley square up. Io gonna put the belt down. Step line, like, whatever.
I'm gonna need you to stop paraphrasing anything that Io, Oscar, or Kairi say because it's just gonna be offensive.
They did that.
You have little to no home training.
And then, just blatantly in front of the ref, EO punches Bayley in the back of the head.
I mean, what's she gonna do? Like, what you gonna do? Like,
Naomi comes out to attempt to make the save.
Boy, that tag team match gonna bang, ain't it?
Like, was doing well for a minute, but then, you know, I gotta remember it's four of them.
Don't worry, baby.
Chance of EST rang out, but obviously she ain't come out because she said, "I wish Bayley the best," or whatever, was heavily implied.
Don't worry, it should be there next week. And then we're going to get Jade, and then we're going to get a six-woman match at Mania with Jade, Bianca, and Naomi against Dakota Kai and the Kabuki Warriors.
Proud. Like, and in the main event segment, or what I think is the main event, this might have opened.
The main event.
But, like, if this opened, they're dumb because, like, this is definitely main event worthy. The Rock came out to Memphis.
Main event.
First of all, got the 2004 Hollywood rock song back. Hollywood. Love that. Doom, 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 doom. Like, my joint. Like, love that. Like, especially if you're going to be healed, you got to turn down all this fanfare stuff. Like, you got to come out with swag. You got to come out dripping in swag goo. You feel me? Excuse me, I had something in my throat. Big half a dang it, please. But, basically called Cody weird. Said, called Cody weird, pretty much called Seth the Bottom, and said, when I take this belt and beat your son with it, Mama Rhodes, like, I'm gonna lean in your ear and I'm gonna whisper, "What can I
say?"
What can I say except you're welcome? Like, the fact that he quoted that child's movie that he's in, like, said, "I'm gonna lean in your ear, Mama Rhodes. With your blood, like with your son's blood and your tears on this belt, I'm gonna lean in and say, what else can I say except you're welcome?" And that was the lame way that man decided to end a wrestling show.
I mean, he lame for being there, so like he can only do so much. Lame is as lame does.
Like Chris Jericho and Rock with these midlife crises is not it.
At least Chris Jericho is entertaining.
That. Cause they were like, do it just here because he wants to be, and I'm not with it.
Do it, decimal system.
And that was the week in wrestling. My boy Quan, you got anything you want to tell the people before we hop on out of here and get ready for this week's festivities?
CEO. Yeah, that's all I got. Not because I knew that would happen.
Yeah, and take the page out of Quan, but just keep watching wrestling.
Keep watching wrestling, folks.
Like I said, we's on the road to WrestleMania. Like, we's on the road to AEW Dynasty. It's just a good time for sports entertainment in general right now. I'm having fun with it. Congratulations to Mercedes. Congratulations to Mercedes Moné. Congratulations to Kyle O'Reilly. Like, and congratulations to all the wrestlers. You are all beautiful and you are all doing so well. Y'all are very entertaining. And we thank you all for each and everything y'all do each and every week. And we thank all of our listeners for putting up with us in these past 11 episodes. We thank y'all for all the support and all the love. And we continue to give y'all quality entertaining product. For the Quan Deniable One, I am SWS ZJ Pierce, reminding you,
it was Johnny.
And that Android 18 is bae. Nerds for life.